Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, what is the real motivation behind the recent revival of polemical debates against Islam?
There has been a rise in anti-Islam sentiments across the world, and with it, insulting and derogatory attitudes undermining Islamic belief and culture. The controversial film The Innocence of Muslims provoked an angry reaction from Muslims in many countries after it mocked the Prophet Muhammad, a revered figure in Islam. Channel 4's documentary Islam: The Untold Story is presented along similar lines in suggesting that the very basis of Islam is questionable. Historian Tom Holland takes a dirty twist on the foundation of Islam in Saudi Arabia and the Prophet's role in its revelation by taking a polemical approach to revising Islamic history. In addition to French cartoons defiling the Prophet of Islam, Muslims are being threateningly questioned about the core beliefs that represent their faith, identity, and cultural attitudes. This week's Islam and Life asks, what is the motivation behind the recent revival of polemical debates against Islam?
If we listen to all the debates that we have around the world, it's true that it's not only about controversies that we have or clashes of civilizations or clashes within the society in pluralistic societies. Very often, if we look at the series of questions that we have, we can see that the very essence of the Islamic tradition of the religion, the belief, and also the practices are criticized and questioned. It comes first with the Quran. Is it truly the very word of God? The second is what the Muslims are doing, the way they pray, the way they dress, the way they practice their religion. And then you have discussions about the way they perceive rights and their cultures, the cultures of origin being at odds with anything which is Western or not liberal. When it comes to the practices of Muslims and the way they deal with women, it's a question about homosexuality, about all this discussion. Every time it's as if we are coming back with, from the controversies on the ground to the very essence of Islam is problematic. It's perceived as a problem, and the Muslims are the target of people who are trying to ridicule the religion, but also people who are rejecting Islam as being by essence against liberal values. So why is it so? What is what are the motivations behind all this movement against Islam and Muslims? To answer all these questions, I'm joined by the spokesman for the Collective Against Islamophobia in France, Marwan Mohamed. Thank you so much for being with us today. And it's very good to have you because you live in France. You are at the center of all what we see in France as, in fact, epitomizing the big image in the West that Islam is perceived as a problem. And in France, it's interesting because it's not only now, it's historical. You can't understand France without understanding the relationship between France and Algeria. You cannot understand France and what is happening if we don't get a sense of what is happening with religion. And now you cannot understand what is happening in France without understanding the new visibility of Muslims in the French society. Now we have more than 5 million Muslims living in France. More than half of them are French citizens. Now. So this is a very interesting laboratory where we can try to understand what is happening. So let us start with France. If you had to deal with your own society, the French society, why is it that Islam and the Muslims are targeted on many levels, from the theological dimension to the social presence?
As you said, France is a unique mix of different influences and different elements of context. The first one that you mentioned is the past colonial era of France. And so France entertains a specific type of relationship with former resurgents of colonies. So with respect to Islam, that is perceived as the religion of the past colonial empire, Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia, there is kind of a history that hasn't been solved. So France cannot get past this burden, this historical burden. The second element of context is that for a long time, the relationship of France with religion is quite tense. Often in the public debate in France, we perceive this word that we call laïcité as a pure aggressive debate between religion and secularism, which is not truly the case. Mm. Laïcité has to be understood as a framework that allows different religions, different beliefs to live together. Now, when it comes to Islam, there is something quite amusing that happens, is that we are unable to have a rational, calm debate, because anything related to Islam is perceived with an emotional framework. So we cannot have a rational debate, whether it be...
Would you say it's specific to France?
Not only to France, but what is specific to France is that you have Islamophobia coming in the mainstream. What you have in the US or in the UK with the English Defense League or in any sort of extremist background from the right wing is that Islamophobia is really on the margins. You have like extremist movements having extremist ideas. But what is specific to France or to Netherlands, for example, is that you have Islamophobia in the mainstream coming from different angle, but with different rhetorics, coming from the right wing with this Islam is an alien phenomenon to the society type of ideology, and so this is a typical Anders Breivik type of ideology. And then you have Islamophobia coming on the left wing of the political game, targeting specifically women's rights, freedom of expression, and this misused concept of secularism.
But that's an important and interesting point. Now, if you widen the picture and you look at what is happening in the UK, or you look at what is it, you mentioned the Netherlands, but also in the United States of America, where you have in 22 states now people acting against, you know, what is called the anti-Sharia bills, mm-hmm. which is not accepting the implementation of Sharia. And when I was there recently, I saw people being quite passionate about this. It's as if really we have a threat with Islam. So what was specific to France seems to be something now it's everywhere in the West. And even, you know, the very fact that we had this movie in the United States, mm-hmm. in California, and then by the way, it was there 3 months before the controversy started, means that there seems to be something which is all the reasons that you mentioned about France.
Yes.
Seems to be everywhere now.
Widening
in another
spreading.
Way.
Yeah. The thing we need to take into account is that for someone stupid to make a stupid movie is a non-event. This movie is of really poor quality, even from an artistic perspective. It's really a non-event. What is relevant is what makes it a national event, an international crisis.
Exactly.
The thing is, the movie is being done. Then some ideologist, for example, Pastor Terry Jones or Pamela Geller, makes it public and says, we condone this project. We think that it's relevant in the way we address Islam. Mm. And then it becomes a phenomenon. The second thing we need to take into account is that we are in the middle of a crisis, not only a financial or economic crisis, but a crisis of identity. Who are we as modern democracies? If I ask the question to France,
you
who
mean
are
the
you,
Western,
France?
Western
yes,
crisis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The same way a human being defines himself, a country has to define itself. Who are you, France? Who are you, United States? Mm. If you are unable to come up with a constructive narrative of who you are as a country, as a nation, then you need to find scapegoats. Mm. So when I'm unable to find a narrative that projects, helps people project in their future and say, we are going to build a system of education, we are going to maintain our health system, we are going to live together in a constructive, positive, peaceful manner, when I'm unable to do this as a president, as a prime minister, then I need to find a scapegoat. I need to find a way to animate.
We'll come to this because I think it's a very important point, but let us come to a kind of answer that we can get from the people saying, what are you talking about? And I heard this as much as you heard it in the West, saying, what are you talking about? You are saying that we are facing a crisis? Who are the people who are demonstrating? Who are the people who are killing an ambassador? Who are the people who are shouting against the West and experiencing something which is a deep crisis? And a deep crisis is with a silly movie, as you mentioned. It's very low quality movie. Look at how the people are reacting. And this is the Muslims. So in fact, you are trying to avoid the very essence of the crisis, which is what the Muslims the way the Muslims are reacting, what would you answer to this?
The thing is, people don't react to specific stimulation. People react to a set of stimulation. So when we look at the reaction in the Egyptian streets or in Libya or in Syria, what we need to understand is that it's not only that movie which triggers this sort of crisis. When we ask people in the street in Cairo or in Iskandaria, in Alexandria, people say, we had enough of this Western ideology who stigmatizes us. And not only that, but when they do this type of movie, they give it some importance. So we need to stand firm, we need to say something about the fact that we don't condone at all this sort of artistic pictures, this sort of ideology which stigmatizes us. And in this case, the movie is just a triggering event that starts this this series of demonstration. People in the street would say that what we criticize today is the U.S. Type of political stance that they take, that President Obama has been in administration for 4 years now and has been completely unable to solve the Palestinian-Israeli crisis. What we say today is that still you have been in presidency and at the same time you are still using and manipulating local interests for oil and dividing and conquer in the whole Middle Eastern area.
So mainly what you are saying is that behind you know, this is just a revelatory movie expressing other frustrations and other elements that are explaining why the Muslims are reacting to the movie in such a way. So let us come then to the other side of the story when it comes to what are the motivation behind. So why Islam and why Muslims today? If you look, yesterday, the migrants were perceived as North Africans or Turkish and Pakistani. Now they are all Muslims. Yesterday, when we were talking about violence, we were talking about people depending or related to their nationalities. It's over now. It's mainly about Muslims. Even in when people are coming for West European country, the perception is, oh, they are all Muslims now, when from Albania, from Kosovo, so they have Arabic, yes, Muslim names. So how would you explain this?
The first thing is that the discourse has been recomposed over the year. I mean, this hatred is not new. Even in the 70s and in the 80s.
Against Muslims, you
yes,
mean?
Yes. If you look at popular culture, movies, cartoons, or even songs, you see that clearly there is a hatred that is constructed that was directed specifically at Arabs. And that these rhetorics has been changed over time to target Muslims, because stigmatizing a race, stigmatizing an ethnic group was becoming taboo. It was too obvious as a.
But would you say, for example, the Arabs of yesterday are the Muslims of today?
Yes.
Is it the same?
No, because we clearly see an evolution even in the Muslim population. Clearly we see in the UK, in France, in Italy, in the US, more converts. So now what we see is the problem is not the race or the ethnic background or the nationality of these people. Hmm. Really what the problem is their religious identity, which is questioning our identity, which is questioning the way we
live. Our means the Western identity.
Yes, because this is misused.
You're Western.
No, of course. But the way this identity is completely artificially constructed, there is no white Judeo-Christian European identity. There is a mix of different thousands of people, of millions of people, and each one of them has a different identity. And identity are
but
not mutually exclusive.
Would you go as far as denying the fact that in what was perceived the host countries, there is something which is an indigenous culture? You would deny this?
Yeah, no, not really. But identity of a country is perpetually recomposing.
Yeah.
And so we cannot say this is a fixed.
So it's changing, it's moving now.
Always, yes, and always. That's a fact. If you have 60 million French citizens, you have 60 million bricks that contribute to defining the French identity. And this identity is perpetually recomposing based on different influences, based on recomposition of ideas, of popular culture. And so Muslims, just as Christians and Jews, they participate in the definition of the French identity. Now what extremist groups are doing is saying, we are going to define for ourselves what should be the French identity, and foreigners or people living here, we are going to put them in an indigenous status, and they need to fit into the mold that we are going to define. And so this, in essence, is an ideological construction that is used to stigmatize the Muslims.
Yes, as you are saying, it's not new, it's old. So now, how would you explain that it's happening to Muslims? What is the problem with Islam?
Yes, the
you
problem
know,
with...
Bernard Lewis wrote a book called What's Wrong with Islam? So mm-hmm. what's wrong with Muslims in the West?
To answer first, I need to say that we are in an evolution of Islamophobia. So far, we have been criticizing Muslim and Islam for what we said they were. We said that they were terrorists, we said that they were backwards, we said that they were alien to our French society, Europeanized society, Western society. But now, we see the Muslims for what they truly are. They want to question injustice. They want to question the way the wealth is being spread among the country. They want to question the fact that the banking system has been used as a means to enrich millionaires at the expense of the rest of the population. Mm. And from an ideological perspective, when they bring the idea of social justice, they question the core of the Western system. They say, we don't accept injustice anymore. Mm. Whether it be in Palestine, or in Rwanda, or in Sudan, or anywhere in the country, we don't accept injustice. And we are going to stand by an idea which we call social justice.
We, Muslims?
Not only we Muslims, by faith, by belief, we think, we hope that there will be social justice. But we don't want to restrict this to our community. Yeah. We want to influence the rest of the society. Yeah. And we want to say, let's have a holistic approach. And when we talk about environment, let's all come together and question, how are we going to make our society sustainable? Yeah. And we are coming at this not only from an ideological perspective, but also from a practical perspective. Mm. And we have no taboos anymore. We're not coming at the left-wing, right-wing type of breakdown.
That's fine, but what would you say, once again, you know, I'm dealing, as you are dealing with the Muslim communities in the West, a great deal, lots. Mm-hmm. In fact, maybe the majority of Muslims in the West are very happy with, you know, the way it is. They just want to have a very peaceful life, just to get their salary. They don't talk about social justice very often. The social justice is the discourse of a minority of Muslims,
yes,
isn't it?
But that's a temporary state. What we see, and you know it better than I, in conferences, you see emerging a generation of people who are taking responsibility and mm-hmm. who are now saying, okay, I'm past that pure consumerist type of state. I want to move further. I want now to not only accomplish my identity, my participation to the society where I live in, but also build new ideas, influence
people. This would be one reason why Islam is targeted and Muslims are perceived as a threat.
Yes, that's the second thing is, this generation of Muslims who are now Muslim converts, they break the ideology of Muslims are alien. Mm. If you see a Muslim woman, her name is Emily, and she's a PhD in sociology, and she's born and she grew up in France, and she masters French, and the whole ideology that claims that these people are alien is broken. And now she questions our relationship to women. She wants to participate in the public debate. And if you want to exclude her from gaining this power, from gaining this influence, we need to stigmatize her religion. Mm. So the elite of the country is always looking for new means to maintain their rule. It used to be social or economic segregation. Then after that, it was ethnic or geographical segregation. And now, with the shock of different religions, they want to use religion as a means to exclude some groups and favor others.
But if I listen to you, and once again, this is something that we are sharing, but if I listen to what you are saying, is that the Muslims, at the end of the day, are victims of their own successes, because what you are portraying is a success, is Muslims being now students, vocal, visible, mm-hmm. and then at the very same time, they are targeted because their success is a threat. So what is the solution then?
The solution is for us to keep a long-term approach. All of these are breaks. We're trying to stop a dynamics that cannot be stopped. And these dynamics, you can call it integration, you can call it recomposition, you can call it
evolution. The way you call it, it's important because for some people, yes, Muslims are silently, peacefully taking over.
Yeah.
So how will you call it?
Taking over is only valid as a dynamic if you perceive Muslims as alien. if you perceive that, them as plain citizens,
you can, plain citizens getting some power and taking over because they play with the democratic rules.
If you identify them as a specific group, then yes, you have the ideology of them taking over.
But if I listen to you, you said we as a specific group.
No, I'm saying we are Muslim. We have
this is what
per se
can be
per se a specificity, a religious specificity, and this specificity conducts us, drives us to open up to the rest of the society.
So how this movement could should be understood and portrayed by the Muslims themselves?
Positive contribution, daily, active, intense contribution, wherever we are, whatever we do, what can I do to benefit the rest of the society? And how do I make sure that what I do that is good is accessible to everyone, beneficial to everyone? If I'm a doctor, how can I be a better doctor? If my religion pushes me for more ethical values, how does this translate into my everyday behavior?
So very quickly, do you think that positive, constructive contribution and presence could change the perceptions?
Yes, definitely. On the condition that this is combined with lucidity, with a clear vision, with an understanding of the world that we live in. Let's not be naive about the environment where we are. There is a great deal of interaction, violence, a conflict of different ideologies at the same time. So we need to be realistic about this. But at the same time, we need to hope and we need to implement our vision, because this narrative has a performative impact. When we project ourselves in a constructive narrative, then it makes things easier for us to act on an everyday basis. If we tell ourselves a story of frustration, then we are going to be frustrated. If we tell if we accept the narrative that is put on us, i.e., you're not welcome here, and you are a specific group, then of course we are going to perceive ourselves as a specific group and stay on the side, say, well, we need to gather together and stay away from... But if we engage in the rest of the society, then we change completely the paradigm. And it's valid in France, it's valid in the UK, it's valid everywhere in the world.
Thank you so much for that. And I think that if we have to summarize what we started with, because referring to France, it's, as we said, a good example. Many factors and reasons are behind what we see Islamophobia in the ground. It has nothing to do only with targeting Muslims, and you said something which is important when it comes to colonialism, when it comes to migration, when it comes to this perception that yesterday they were North Africans and now they are now becoming Muslims. We need to understand the historical factors and the dynamics within the society. And what you said also, which is important in the whole discussion here, is that the perception of the Muslims based, as you know, the alien presence, and then also that some are now more visible and successful even in their presence, is also something which is a very important factor. Adding to this, what you said at the end, which is to convince ourselves based on facts and figures and the vision of the history, that there are things that might be controversial and racist that is temporarily a reality because things are moving on and the perception that things are going to change. And this presence of the Muslims, let us hope that it's also a factor towards more social justice, a constructive and an added ethical presence of Muslims. We still have to see this happening, but this is where hope is so important. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here's the way to contact us.
Islam Alive welcomes your opinion. So please send us your suggestions as well as criticism on any of the shows you have seen or you would like to see. You can do all this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also be part of our online platform by joining our Facebook page, Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can share your thoughts with other Islam and Life fans, engage with debate, and view past shows.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Marwan Muhammad. Thank you so much for your insight and your hopeful presence. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah. We'll be right back.